Take your Bible, if you will. Let's take a run over to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. Obviously, you know that that's going to be around the Christmas story with that. So, I want to do a little reminding today in a little bit of a different, on a different aspect, one that I haven't pushed too much in the past. And hopefully it'll give you a reason to think. And that's what I kind of like, is for us to think a little bit about what is happening and why we're doing certain things and what our emphasis and point of emphasis emphases ought to be. And so I think sometimes that we hear, because, you know, it rolls around every year, and then preachers scrabble around trying to figure out what in the world part of this Christmas story we're going to try to get out to people every year, and then that takes 2 or 3 weeks with that. And so we get a lot of Christmas story, actually. In the course of a year. And so after a while, after we've seen the little play and Mary and Joseph show up and there's no room at the inn, and, you know, and the angels and all this stuff that takes place and the little Christmas plays and all of that, it just kind of becomes, can become quite ho-hum. It's that time of year. This is what we do. This is what we present, and we're expected to do so. And so we do so, and we don't think about it a whole bunch. And I want to get you thinking about a piece of this today, and really dig into what we forget more about than what we actually emphasize. Luke chapter 2, let's start in at verse 8. We'll read a few verses, and that'll be enough for what I want to launch into. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The question on the floor this morning that we're going to throw out there, the question on the floor is, can you hear the angels? Can you hear the angels? Either you can or you can't. The shepherds heard them. And from the little piece that we've just read, it scared them to death. The angels heard them and it scared them. Now, if you'll go back a little bit in this story, an angel told Joseph, "Don't be afraid." Gabriel told Mary, "Fear not." Angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not." Do you realize that angels aren't from around here? They're not from around these parts. They come from another dimension. Think about that. They come from another dimension. They come from another realm. A realm that we're not all that acquainted with. But another realm nonetheless, and a realm that we have insight into as we look in this story. 1 minute, as we look at this, the shepherds are minding their own business. They're minding their own business, and out of nowhere, the sky fills up with angels. Think about that. Think about you sitting out around a campfire one night, out in a place where you just hear distant sounds of certain things that are familiar, And all of a sudden, the sky fills up with angels. This is not normal. This night's going to be different, it looks like. This is what happened to these folks out here. These angels show up, and then not only just show up, they talk to them. They talk to these folks. You know what multitude means, right? A whole bunch of them. A whole bunch of them show up. Not just a few. It says a multitude shows up. And they fill up the sky that is around these individuals. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I probably said that too loud, as opposed to how they said it. They probably said it in that real quiet, silent night voice. You know, what do you think? Glory to God in the highest. Been over and read Isaiah 6 lately? Huh? The picture of the throne room of heaven. Picture of that throne room of heaven and those seraphim and those angelic beings flying around the throne and crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You're talking about some attendants here that have been with the Lord. You're talking about some attendants here that have been in the throne room of God. And friend, I don't think, I hadn't been there yet, but I don't think you can come out of that throne room and whisper about it. Huh? I think when you come out of that throne room, you're going to be filled up. You're going to have seen some things that me and you had not seen. And when we get the opportunity to talk about glory to God, the God that we've seen, the God that we've watched over years and thousands of years, do what God does, I think that we're going to be a little excited about that. Amen? And so a multitude of angels shows up out here. They show up among the, in this isolated place, and they fill the sky up, and they do it suddenly. 1 minute they're there, and the next minute they're not there, and the next minute they're there. 1 minute it's starry skies, and the next minute it's full of angels. This night's different. Something's afoot. Something's different. Something's happening on this night. And I think these angels show up and they don't hold back. I don't think there's any of them that's self-conscious. Huh? I don't think they show up in a worship service and get self-conscious and think, I can't show myself in here. I can't become the big fool and let everybody see me act this way. No, I think they let her rip pretty good that night. I think they let it out like they ought to. The Bible says that they showed up in verse 13 suddenly without warning. They were not there, and then they were there. And let me say this, they were all over the place. All over the place. Now, what I just said is not quite right, because they were there before they saw them. Oh, they were there before they became visible. They were there before they were seen. They're kind of always there. They're there today. But can you see them? May not be visible, but can you see them? Amen. Suddenly, the invisible became visible all at one time, all over the place. No reason to be afraid there, right? Uh-huh. I wonder how many in here would be a little bit afraid if those that are here made themselves visible. I wonder if that might change the tone in here. I wonder if that might not get our attention this morning because they're here. Invisible. What would happen if they turned the light on this morning and stepped into this realm from the realm where they are? Stepped over into where we are. Go over to 2 Kings for just a moment. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha and his servant are in a city called Dothan. They are surrounded by the Aramean army. Elisha is going on business as usual. He is going about making his cup of coffee, having his quiet time, enjoying his day, and his servant is fretting. His servant is upset because when he looks out the house, he looks out the window, he sees an army out there, and they're bearing down. And that's where we pick up the story right here. Take a look at verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" What are we going to do about this? Have you seen outside? Have you gone out and looked at what's happening out here? And the man of God says, and he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." I wonder if he went back to the window. And took another look out there and said, "I don't know where you're getting your information, but all I see out here is Aramaeans. I don't know what you're talking about, but what I see out here and what you're talking about, two different things." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I wonder what army that is. Friend, we're talking about that same army that showed up on a hillside to a bunch of shepherds, is what we're talking about there. An angelic army that had surrounded the man of God. And what he's trying to do is dispel the fear in this young man. Let's tamp that fear down, Hoss, because I'm telling you, those that are with us are more than they that are against us. The angels were always there. They were always there. The servant simply did not see them. Only when his eyes were opened did he see those angels at that point. And I'm going to say to you today that some people see angels and other people don't. Some people hear them and others don't. Some people are aware of and believe in the supernatural and others don't. And what we have in this Christmas story is a supernatural story. Truth is, everything that seems empty is full. Everything that seems like it's empty is not empty. It is, in fact, full. Are you aware that they're here? Are you aware that God is here? Are you aware that the Holy Spirit of God is here? Supernatural things. Some see it through the eyes of faith. Others don't. Some hear it through the ears of faith. And others don't. There's a huge supernatural element to the Christmas story. It defies logic. But it is true nonetheless. Question. Can you prove that something is beautiful? The statement is made, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And the reason that that statement rings true is because you can't prove that something is beautiful. It's a matter of perception. It's a matter of experience in order to see beauty in something. How many times have you tried to capture the beauty of a sunset? The beauty of a sunrise? How many times have you sent that picture that you snapped off with your phone there and said, "This is so beautiful"? How do you think it's received on the other side? That's nice. When you get one and it's, "This is the greatest thing I ever saw in my life," and you look at it and go, pretty neat. Beauty. There's a perception. And there's an experience that's attached to that. What is there about a fragrance? A fragrance of some kind that makes your mind think of beauty. What is there about that fragrance that does it? There's a perception. There's a perception to you and an experience of some kind. You put your snoot down in some morning glories and you get that coming back up into there and something triggers in your mind and you think, "That is one of the most beautiful things I ever saw in my life," because the smell and everything triggers it back to you. There's a perception and an experience that goes along with it. Some folks go out and see the Grand Canyon and they think, big hole. And other folks go and look at that, and the moment they look over the edge of that, down into the bottom of that big hole, they have this great sense of grandeur and awe of a God who simply drug his little finger through there. The perception of it and the experience of it brings us to the place of thinking that this is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Some folks see that morning glory. They see that sunrise. They see that sunset. They see that Grand Canyon. And they see this world as having been painted from a palette that is out of this world. Color combinations that are splashed across an empty cosmos. Some folks see things that other people don't see. And when we look at things through the eyes of faith, with the backdrop behind all of this being Almighty God, we ought to see the beauty and the filled-in spaces that are between everything. The beauty of His holiness. We see only what we want to see. And there's a lot that we just simply ignore. In the early days of the space race, the Russians sent up a cosmonaut. And that cosmonaut came back from space and made a declaration. He said that he had looked for God and had not seen him anywhere. Dr. W.A. Criswell at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, said this about that. He said, "Let him step out of that space suit for a second. It won't take him long to see God." Some people see. Some people don't. It is impossible to miss the supernatural that surrounds the birth of Jesus Christ. Angels that are intersecting with people. With Mary. Mary, don't be afraid. You're pregnant. Step back on that one a minute. You men have no idea. We have no idea. You ladies, think about that a minute. An angel appears to you, tells you, "Fear not," and says, "You're pregnant. Don't worry." And you know you hadn't even been alone with nobody. What in the world is happening here? "Oh, fear not." Oh, I suspect she got up and said, "Oh, wonderful." She didn't have no sleepless nights from there for a while, did she? Huh? Fear not. Yeah, easier said than done. Angel appeared to Joseph. Told him, "Fear not. By the way, she's pregnant. Marry her. Huh? Oh, and name the boy Jesus when it comes to that. Fear not. Yeah, easier said than done, Hoss. Huh? Supernatural things. And we look at those statements and we don't really think about what is all behind that and what's all packed into that. What is packed into this Christmas story is supernatural thing after supernatural thing. These are not natural things that are taking place here. This is completely contrary to the laws of nature that are happening in this story. Angel appears to Joseph, to both of them. Says, flee over to Egypt. Get out of here. There's trouble, man. You got to go to Egypt. Okay. And then tells them after a while, come on back. Everything's fine. It's going to be okay now. Supernatural things. This is not the natural order of stuff. Then we have shepherds and they get a birth announcement. And then there's a mysterious star that shows up that a bunch of guys follow. And not only do they follow it, but they follow the star to the exact place where Jesus is. Supernatural things all over this. Unnatural things that are transpiring in this story. Magi come. They start to leave. An angel appears to them and tells them, don't go back the same way you came. In other words, don't go by Herod's house. Just go on straight to your house. There's going to be trouble if you go to Herod's house. Unnatural, supernatural things. Angels and stars and dreams and separate dimensions that intersect in all of this. Believer, we are a part of something that is so amazing. We're a part of something that is incredible if you get right down to it. How many of you believe this stuff? Can you see it? Well, I'm having a hard time seeing angels here. But when I sit back and put that through the filter of what I know of Scripture, I know they're there. There is not a doubt in my mind but that they're there. That they're here. I can see them through the eye of faith. I can hear them through the ear of faith. Scripture's told me what they say, tells me where they're coming from, what their emphasis is. I can almost hear them. Slow down. Slow down and think about this stuff. Think about the words that you're reading. Think about the story that you've bought into. We need to see what we're not seeing. What breaks through all over this Christmas story? Here it is. What breaks through in all of this Christmas story is God coming from the supernatural to the natural. That's the breakthrough. That's what this is all about. The God coming from the supernatural to the natural. So that we can get from the natural to the supernatural. Have I lost you? Are you with me? That's why he came. He came from there to here so that we could get from here to there. Think about it. This is not our home. This is a temporary place. Where these angels are living, that's our home. Oh, think about that for a minute. This natural place is not my home. The supernatural place is.
And so those that are in the gaps here that I'm not seeing with my visible naked eye today, that's the realm that I am shooting for, that I'm headed to.
There's another world that's our real world. The world of God. The world of angels. The world of Christ. The world of the Holy Spirit, of heaven. The world where saints who have gone on live. The world where Doris is today, you see. She wasn't there Thursday. She's there now. These worlds exist side by side. We live in one and we believe in the other. We live here, but our passport is stamped heaven as the country of origin. It's a supernatural place. And sometimes that supernatural place breaks through into this one. And we get accounts of that that take place here, and we read that as though it's just another book and just another story. It's a big deal when the supernatural invades the natural. You know that's what a miracle is, right? A miracle is when God suspends the laws of nature. It becomes then supernatural. That's a miracle. That's why salvation is a miracle. It suspends the law of nature because the natural man deserves to die. The natural man deserves to die a death in hell forever. That's what nature, that's how nature runs its course right there. Nature runs its course by you winding down, getting old and feeble and dying and going to hell. But Christ came from the supernatural to the natural in order to give us an avenue to get out of this life alive and to make it over into this supernatural realm, you see. This world is not going to last. And I tell you what, you recycling all the paper you can recycle, giving up plastic, blowing a pinwheel on your car to get to work, all the work that you can possibly do to make it as green as it can get is not going to make this world last. This world is finished. It's just a matter of time. Amen. See those that are out there blowing the big smoke today? What they don't know is that they're right. This world's not going to make it. And everybody's out there, well, this is not going to make it. We got to do better. You can do better all you want. This world ain't going to make it. I have it on good authority. 2 Peter chapter 3. Tenth verse. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's the question. That's the issue right there. The issue is not whether or not the world's going to stay or go. The issue is when it goes, where are you going to be? What's going to happen to you? And if you're not one of these persons that is in all holy conversation and godliness, there's going to be a dastardly end to you, just like there was and will be to this world. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and only righteousness will dwell there. Supernatural has invaded the natural in order that the natural folks might make it to the supernatural. And it's all over his coming. All over his coming to this earth. Why is Christmas important? It's important because we're a dying race that is living on a dying planet. This is all going to be gone. And despite our best efforts, there is nothing we can do to save it or to save ourselves. And that's the bottom line. We cannot save ourselves. It is an impossibility to do so. If we're going to be saved, salvation has to come from somewhere else. Because there is no salvation coming from the natural world. It has to come from somewhere else. It's not in us. We can't manufacture it. We cannot produce it. It had to come from somewhere else. Salvation has come to us. Salvation has come to where we are. And this is that supernatural element of the Christmas story. Salvation. God came in human flesh. That one will tear the rafters off your mind if you get to thinking about it hard enough. It's outside of us, but yet it's offered to us. And just because he came don't mean we're all going. Huh? Just because he came and made a way don't mean that everybody's going. Oh, all them roads lead to... No. No. You're on the wrong road if you think all roads lead to heaven. If you think everything in the natural realm that man can dream up and think up is going to head to the place where a supernatural God lives, you are sadly mistaken this day. Right. You bought into it. You bought into a lie. You bought into natural stuff. You bought into this world and the philosophies thereof. There ain't but one way out. And his particular given name is Jesus. Amen. The supernatural became natural in order to translate natural to the supernatural. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We don't have a plethora of names that we can enter into that verse. It's him. It's Jesus that we believe in. The one that came from the supernatural to the natural in order to translate those that he loved into that place. Only way. Only one. Only hope. Only way. Titus chapter 2. Listen to this, verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Think about that. Appeared to all men. God, supernatural God, came and appeared in order that we might have salvation. He's made himself known to us all. Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, listen to this, verse 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son." From where? Huh? Away from here. "He sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Wow, that's a big verse. That's a big verse that talks about the incarnation. Supernatural becoming natural. The process through which he appeared to all men. That's a huge verse. made of a woman, made under the law. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means he's God. But made himself of no reputation. That means he emptied himself. And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. God in human flesh. Supernatural becoming natural. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest. The invisible became visible. Manifest. The invisible became visible in the flesh, it says. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. John chapter 1, one verse, verse 14. And the Word, the Logos, something powerful, promised. It's talking about Jesus. And the Word was made flesh, supernatural, made natural, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The incarnation. Supernatural steps over into the natural. God became flesh. The infinite became finite. Immortal became mortal. Creator became created. Omnipotence. Get that word. Omnipotence lived in the womb of a young woman. The Almighty was gathered up in the frame of a baby. Supernatural things taking place. Deity in rags. And the King being born in a barn. Supernatural took up residence in the natural. You take the supernatural out of Christianity, and all you have left is a religious book club. That's all that's left. It's a supernatural thing that we're a part of here. How many around us are wasting life? Living for everything that's temporary. What little time we've got, and we're wasting it on temporary things that aren't going to last. There's another world to live for. And living each day one step closer to home makes this life an adventure. That's what it does. It makes this life an adventure as we pass through here. We cannot become complacent and try to settle down here. Oh, the things we can see when we have eyes to see. Oh, the things we can hear when we have ears to hear what the Lord has for us. How glorious are the eyes of faith. Everything that seems to be empty is really, really full. And often just when we're at the lowest, when it seems like hope is gone, and when we fear that we can't press on anymore, suddenly, when we least expect it, suddenly, God breaks through
and the angels sing. That's what makes this life an adventure. This supernatural story that we're a part of, watching to see what God's going to do next when He appears and we, with the eyes of faith, see Him. That's when we get good news from the other side. God breaks through and shows Himself to us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Can you hear the angels this morning? Oh, they're there. Can you hear them this morning? Oh, they're there. Can you say with them, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men? Can you say that without holding back? Christmas, supernatural becomes natural. Reread these old stories again. Look at that intersection of all of these things that God has brought for us. Look at the intersection of that supernatural and natural. And He's not through. He's not done. See it. Experience it. See the beauty of God in the incarnation this year. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord, we kneel our hearts before You today. And Lord, we do that in silent amazement. Father, we thank You that we now understand that because of the birth of Jesus, You are with us. Lord, help us to welcome You into hearts that have been warmed by salvation. Lord, let nobody in this place place the wonder of Christ coming in a cold manger of a heart filled with indifference this season. Remind us that this world is passing away and that we're to live lives that break through to where You are. Dear Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see that You fill in the blank spaces. Dear God, that You fill the empty places of this life. That there is such a fullness with You as our Savior, as our God. Lord, that we're never alone. That we're never alone. And that You're for us no matter what. Lord, I pray for these, my fellow messed up men and women. God, that we might see You high and lifted up this Christmas season. That we might collectively cry out to You, glory to God in the highest. For You are worthy and worthy to receive all honor and glory and power. Thank You for Your magnificent works in creation. Thank You for Your magnificent works in providing another comforter for us. But we thank You most of all for Jesus Christ. And Him coming from the ivory palaces of heaven to this earth to take on a body for eternity. We thank You for that. Now, dear Heavenly Father, help us to look deeper into what this season means. Help us to look deeper into what it means for us personally. I pray further, Father, for those that are here this morning that don't know You, that have never surrendered their life to You, never given up self, and invited You to be the Lord and Savior of their life. I ask You, Father, that You would impress upon those individuals today that there is no escape if we neglect this great salvation which You have provided for through supernatural means to natural men. So God, please continue to impress that upon hearts this day. Now, Father, we go into a time of invitation, and I ask you, dear Lord, that you might help us to respond aright to what it is we've heard this morning. Lord, there will be many different ways to respond, and I ask you, Father, to help us to respond as you have placed it upon each heart. Help us to respond. Now, Father, I lay these things at your feet and bless your holy name and pray it in Jesus' name and amen. We open an altar here this morning and invite you to come to respond to how the Lord has spoken to your heart. He's real good at speaking to people in a room full of people and speaking in different ways to each one. So you come, you have a need, come to Him. You've come to the place of, man, this is just awesome, and I want to thank my God. This is a good time to do that. Come thank Him.